Hello and welcome to Meet the Writers. I'm Georgina Godwin, and in the show today I want to take you to Adelaide, Australia. I was there in early March for Adelaide Writers' Week. This is the country's largest free literary festival, 6 days of events staged outdoors in the Pioneer Women's Memorial Gardens, bringing together some of the best writers and thinkers in the world, alongside debut authors and thousands of audience members. Writers' Week is part of the wider Adelaide Festival, which runs for the entire month. It's a celebration of creative excellence, showcasing an eclectic mix of theatre, dance and visual arts. The co-artistic directors are Neil Armfield and Rachel Healy, and we'll hear from them a little later in the show. But first, I want to introduce you to Laura Croach, the director and curator of the literary programme.
So I'm Laura Croach, and I'm the director of Adelaide Writers' Week. And I first came to Adelaide in 2011, and this is my seventh festival.
How long has Writers' Week been going?
It started in 1960. It moved to this historic garden in 1974, and it's been here ever since.
And this is the Pioneer Women's Garden. Tell me about it.
So the Pioneer Women's Memorial Garden, it commemorates flying doctors, and it commemorates the pioneer spirit of the women who settled South Australia. And until 2012, we were never allowed to use the inside of the garden, which has a statue in it. Because it was decided that it was a sacred space meant only for meditation and not for fun and frivolity. So we went and saw the women. The leader of the group is a woman named Nairi. And we assured her that as a literary festival, no fun would be had. And we would instead reflect. And she's allowed us to. Nairi's almost 100 now. She's in her late 90s. She comes every year. It's been a great event.
Now, what marks this festival out from most festivals around the world is that it's absolutely free.
It's completely free, and it only runs two stages. The idea is, and always has been, that anyone can come here. And I think the fact that it's resisted growing since 1974 is amazing. And it means you can't hide anything here. Your sessions do have to work. But the other side of it is, which I think is the nice bit, is if you do get a little bit bored on one stage, you can just drift over to the other stage. And because it's outside, it's not disruptive. There's a relaxed feeling here. And we sort of get used to people getting coffee, wandering around. It's a really gentle atmosphere.
So, as you say, two stages. Now, they're set up in the shade under the trees, chairing various sessions. The one thing that has been disruptive to me is the bird song.
So that is hilarious. So we had a guy, a terrific Australian writer, who wrote about birds. And he was here a couple of years ago. And he was, of course, complaining about the car noise. And he asked me if there was anything that I could do about it, which there isn't. And I said, but don't worry, because the birds are going to get so loud during the course of the session that you won't hear the cars anymore. For him, it was good. For other people, not so good.
It's just unique, really, having that background noise. How many people do you normally get through the gates?
So there's 2,500 seats. So there's normally about 3,000 people here at any given time. We call that about 100,000 attendances. What's amazing about it is that they're here all day. So some people get very anxious about being at the 9:30 session, but as you would have seen, we had easily filled our seats and the bank and everywhere else this morning by 9:30. And likewise, come 5 o'clock tonight, we'll be in the same situation. The only thing that ever really deters people is extreme heat, and the writers struggle more than the locals do because the locals are strangely used to it and sort of weirdly like it.
Now, obviously, you're not Australian, and I've done, as I'm sure you have, festivals all over the world, and I wonder if there's anything that you feel characterizes an Australian audience.
This audience, I think, is even more unique in that it's incredibly attentive. I think that Australians feel their cultural isolation, but in these states like Tasmania, Western Australia, and South Australia, I think people are acutely aware of the distance, and I think that they genuinely love that people come to visit. I think that they love celebrating their own, and really matters to people. We have people come from all over the state, and we have people who've come every year from its inception, and they value it. It very much belongs to its audience. I've always seen myself as a caretaker, And in part, that's because it was started by writers. So it was actually a writers' festival started by poets for other writers. And they only did about two sessions for the public. And in 1974, it became open to the public.
And so in terms of putting it together, you curate it, and you've curated a very fine program. Tell me about what drives you and how you're deciding who to put on when, and indeed who to invite at all.
I guess there's always some things I want. I always want a biographer. I'd like a good popular science person. This festival's always really, really celebrated fiction. And I really want a good blend of established fiction writers, emerging fiction writers, and also writers that are new to this market. The publishing industry has been hit in the last 10 years and the lists shrink. So I'm really interested in introducing people to the market. So the book rights may have been sold, but they may not be buying stock. So I'm looking at that. I look at what's being published. And because I only run two stages, I read everything, which is an incredible luxury that you can't do when you run, you know, when you have 400 writers. I'm a ferocious reader, and I have the great benefit of having read for a very long time. And it's an interesting thing to me. I mean, one of the limits of the culture of youth is that you don't have, I have a lifetime of reading behind me. I know people's prior books. I can anticipate what I think the audience will like and enjoy. I've seen a lot of writers speak. I know a lot of chair people. And I guess I really want the program to always be, I always want you to see a writer you've never seen before. I want you to fall in love with a writer that you've never seen before. And I want you to buy their book and keep buying their book and become their reader.
Finally, what do you think is the benefit of a literary festival? I mean, people say that, for instance, literature on television doesn't work, that people don't want to hear about books, it's a solitary thing, they want to go off and read them. That clearly, though, isn't true.
Reading is a solitary experience, but sharing the books you've read is a communal experience. And I think that there's something really genuinely lovely about actively listening and then having this mad chat with the person next to you and disagreeing or really agreeing. And I think it's one of the few things that we do in theaters that is a quiet activity, but it's never a passive activity, which is not to distract from any other form. I just think readers get to come together in this weird place we call a literary festival and think about things.
So my name's Anna Hughes, and I'm the program manager for Adelaide Writers Week with Laura Croach. So Laura and I really have been a bit of a tag team, her doing the curatorial and me more doing the operational part of the programming. It takes a year to program something like this and to do it effectively, and it really requires a lot of attention to detail. So that's what my job is. I sort of get everybody here and I negotiate their pathways and help them get here and then make sure everything works on the ground. It is sort of like embroidery rather than big splashy painting, if you're going to use a metaphor for it. My job is mainly with the artists rather than the community and the vision of the event. It's really about how they can best be served, and one of the things that we really take care of here is making sure they have a good time and making sure they're not sort of overworked as well. That has been a really important part of it, that we don't flog them to death and make them do tons of sessions, so that they actually have a peer experience as well. So they come and they present their work, but they also have time to connect with other writers. And many really amazing relationships have been forged here because of that. It's very important for the international and the Australian writers to have an opportunity also to sort of come together.
Are there many divas?
I think it's quite a difficult thing to ask writers to do. Most of them are used to being solitary, and they're being asked to go out and perform in a way. And that's why also, you know, Laura's spent a long time really trying to hone the chairing and getting good chairs who understand what it is to be on stage, but also to be able to really engage with the books. I think people get insecure and they're not in a company and they don't have a company manager. So they're by themselves often, particularly some more obscure international writers travelling by themselves. They don't have publicists here who know them, so they need a lot of care. And some of them just get a bit more freaked out than others.
The whole social side of it I found fantastic. I mean, last night, there we all were partying with J.M. Coetzee. And
it was
And young poets who don't know anybody. It really is that egalitarian, quality, I think, is really special, to just make sure everybody, they're all participants in a program. I think that's a hallmark of Laura's programming, though, too.
Finally, is there a highlight for you?
What I love about it is we work on systems all year, and we make those systems really, really as rock solid as we can. And then the event starts, and you just have to let go into your systems, and you hope to hell that they survive and work properly. So that, for me, if when it's working, I go, we're doing okay.
The festival attracts acclaimed writers from all over the world. Both Carmela Shamsi and Alan Hollinghurst have featured on the Man Booker Prize lists. Alan won it for his book, The Line of Beauty, in 2004. His latest novel is The Sparsholt Affair. Carmela, who appeared on Meet the Writers a couple of weeks ago, is currently longlisted for the Women's Prize for Fiction for her latest book, Homefire. I asked her if it was her first time at the festival.
Third trip to Adelaide, second time to the Writers' Festival particularly. And I loved the first time I came, so that seemed a good reason to come back. They get amazing audiences here. And one of the things I love is they only have two sessions on at a time, so there is that sense of intimacy. But they're also huge audiences. And I think intimacy plus huge audiences is what every writer wants.
You had a massive signing queue, so people are wanting to engage with you.
That is nice, isn't it? There's nothing a writer likes more than the words massive signing queue. They're readers, they buy books, and they very often have read the book before they even come to the session. So it's very rewarding to the ego, really.
Alan, had you been here before?
This is my third time at Adelaide Writers' Week, yes. It's the first place I ever came to in Australia, 24 years ago. And I come back each time I've been invited.
What's the value, do you think, of a literary festival?
Well, for writers, they say that it's actually to meet each other. Usually people who live just around the corner for you back home, but you actually get a chance to meet them on the opposite side of the planet. And actually to communicate directly with, here, absolutely enormous audiences. And I think there is a particular sort of warmth and openness in this festival, partly because of the way that it's organised outdoors. And when I first came here, the festival took place in two rather stuffy marquees, but now it happens out under the trees, under big canopies, and paradoxically the openness makes the whole thing much more focused, and you do get this very personal sense of connection with a large body of people.
There were also writers from closer to home.
My name's Kim Scott. I'm an Australian novelist, and particularly a Noongar novelist, so I'm an Indigenous writer. I work as an academic also, so I do a range of other writing, including writing in Indigenous language, Noongar language. So I run a project, the Willam and Noongar Language and Stories Project. We have a website associated with that. We've published six picture books coming out of that. They're written in a community-based sort of way, those books. So we workshop them and get people agreeing on the terminology, the spelling, because it's an endangered language, so that is a really important part of the process.
Is there much original literature coming out in Indigenous languages?
Depending how you define Indigenous languages, I suppose. There's quite a lot of vernacular, Aboriginal English. Some would call that a language. Mugabala Press in northern Western Australia publishes a little bit. There's a Noongar Language and Culture Centre in Bunbury has published a number of books in Noongar, but it may not be the best form, print, possibly. Some of us are experimenting a bit more with digital renditions, so you don't have the problem of a mismatch between the alphabet and the language itself.
How has this festival experience been for you, and how inclusive is it?
I've only got here yesterday and I'm going out tomorrow. And I haven't been niched on the last couple of festivals, as sometimes happens. And again, I work with novels, which is the literary realm, you know, of writers' festivals. One of the reasons I set up the other project that I've been referring to is because I want to consolidate some of that heritage in its home community. And I think there's slightly different things going on there. So in a festival like this, you can try and create and open up space into which other voices and other stories might move when the time's ready. I think there's a whole lot of negotiation to go on there. It's something to do with the fact that for most of our shared history, there's been serious attempts to destroy Indigenous languages, stories, songs. In recent decades, enlightened people have come to understand, I think, that those very materials are extremely important, a major denominations in the currency of identity and belonging. But my concern is a little bit, as I said before, to consolidate that material in home communities. It's a different way of closing the gap, so to speak. It's something to be negotiated. You don't just hand it all over, and there's dangers of it being reductionist if some of those things happen too quickly. So there's a lot, I think there's a lot more to talk about in that little space.
I turn to Peter Rose, an author and the editor of the publication Australian Book Review, to hear more about contemporary literature in the country.
Well, the changes that I've observed over the 30 years or more that I've been in publishing, and publishing myself, I published a dozen books of my own, enormous. And since becoming editor of ABR in 2001, I've just been so impressed by the volume of publishing. Of course, it all comes down to quality, but I think there is some quality, high quality there too. And for what is a very small population, I think the publishing scene here is pretty robust, pretty healthy. It makes a big contribution to our culture, to our economy as well. I suppose in the early years at ABR, sometimes I felt it was a bit of a struggle when probably 80-90% of the books were Australian, find enough really high quality books to put in. Whereas now it's impossible to cover all the good and the consequential books. So I think it's a remarkable of our pretty active cultural scene. I think the literature is absolutely outstanding.
And of course festivals flourish. I know that there is Perth, Sydney and so on, but tell me about Adelaide Festival.
Well, I've been coming here long before I became a publisher or a published author. I mean, it's a wonderful festival. It's unique because of
the
setting, the freedom of it, literally a free
car.
Festival, which
one
is wonderful.
The
Melbourne one
is
quite expensive to attend.
Now.
I'm really impressed by the direction
around,
in recent festivals away from what I think is a very ponderous model for festivals. I've been attending them and involved in them and programming them for years. But I think that panel model can be a pretty ponderous model for eclectic people, a topic and give them 12 minutes.
And
pay them pittance and expect, you know, a platonic oration from them. Can work, but often doesn't. Here the emphasis, as you well know, is on a conversation between two people with a focus on the writer. I've just done one myself with Queensland author Sarah Holland Batt. And I think authors respond to that greater intimacy and greater focus. And for a writer, it's a wonderful opportunity to read your stuff, talk about it, take questions, rather than just being lumped onto yet another panel on gender or fiction in the city or the city in fiction or whatever.
And finally, a word on the audiences. They have been massive, and I just wonder who they are, and is this representative of the Australian public as a whole? Are they big readers?
Well, we know from the data that Australians do consume a lot of books. I think only New Zealanders, maybe Scandinavians, buy more. That's changing, of course. There's so much competition now, isn't there, for reading time. This festival audience is pretty typical of most in Australia, largely feminised, pretty middle class, not enough young people. I find them some of the most engaged and friendliest kind of audiences. As a poet, I'm delighted the festival gives so much space to poetry, and I've been impressed by their attention to poetry in a way that we don't get in many festivals, where not many people would attend such a festival. So I've been at sessions here over the years when there have been 1,000 people on those banks around those tents, and I think that's pretty unique. Not all writers enjoy them greatly. Let's be honest, not all writers are great at it, but overwhelmingly I think my peers just relish the opportunity to meet their readers, connect with other writers, and along the way sell some books.
Selling books is definitely on the agenda, but one of the biggest attractions in the green room proved to be the baby kangaroos, Joeys. They were available for stress-busting cuddles, and Pashlia, the Native Animal Network, brought them along.
Well, they're both rescued kangaroos, as the mum's having been hit by a car. One little one's had a break in her leg and the other one's fine. She's been in for a couple of weeks now. And they're very comfortable lying here, lazing around, minding their own business and being cuddled by a few people that come to visit.
Well, I think this is a precedent that should be set for every single literary festival I go to. We need comfort, support animals. What's been the reaction to them by the writers?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. And we actually had a group visit me at my home on Monday. And they were absolutely ecstatic over it. They couldn't believe that they could hold a little one and then go out and pat a big one. So, and I'm quite happy to come and show our international people. I think it's something very, very special. And the roos don't mind. They're quite used to being handled. And if I can make somebody else or the animals can make somebody else happy, so be it.
Aside from the compelling conversations and the brilliant readers and writers I met, the baby roos would have been reason enough to go to Adelaide Writers' Week. Finally, I spoke to the co-artistic directors of the Adelaide Festival, Neil Armfield and Rachel Healy.
It started in 1960. It's one of the oldest festivals, international arts festivals in the country. For decades, it was held once every 2 years, but in 2012, it became an annual event. It's always been a curated festival with an artistic director who makes artistic judgments following their international travels and Australian travels, talking to really the major artists of our generation and inviting them here to present really significant work. So Adelaide audiences have for many decades experienced the work across theatre, opera, dance, contemporary music, chamber music, really from the best artists in the world. And so there's a high level of cultural literacy amongst the audiences here, which is great. It means that we can take risks and that we can presume a background knowledge of Pina Bausch, for example, and the legacy she left, or Robert Lepage, or Robert Wilson, for example.
So, I mean, but this is quite a small town, maybe just a million people, and it seems that there's a huge amount on. Have you got the audience to sustain that?
Without question, because the Adelaide Festival has always been seen as the premier festival of this country, and in fact one of the top three in the world. Small cities like Avignon in France and like Edinburgh are perfect festival cities. They're walkable. It means that you can see with astute scheduling a number of shows in one day, and so if you are coming from overseas or interstate, you can cram a lot in. And so we schedule our events really carefully because we know that a vast number of people who come to Adelaide for the festival are coming for a weekend or a long weekend or a week, and they want to maximise their time here. So certainly the Adelaide audiences are very loyal, but we have really put a lot of effort into ensuring that our interstate audiences mark this out in their diaries every year and ensure it's one of their must-see events. I mean, last weekend it felt like half of Sydney and Melbourne were here, and we've got a pretty serious commitment about having exclusive events to this city. If you don't see it in Adelaide, you won't see it at all. That's the case with Akram Khan's Xenos, for example, Cecile McLaurin's Salvant, Tonil Group's Kings of War, which opens this weekend, Hamlet, as Neil's mentioned, Lost and Found Orchestra, as Neil's mentioned, Us Them, which opens tonight, Great War, which opens tonight. I mean, these are all events that have extraordinary pedigrees based on the critical response and audience response from around the globe, and you can only see them in this country if you come to Adelaide. And so Adelaide's reputation has been forged through that kind of programming and that kind of exclusivity, and so we don't see our audience as only being from this city.
How many events are there in total?
47 events in total. Compared with, say, The Fringe, which plays in the city at the same time, where there are something like 700 events, I would guess, or possibly more. We put so much care into the curation of a very specific rhythm of shows across the 2 weeks and three weekends of the festival so that people can actually see 36 shows, or probably 47. Rachel and I are seeing all 47, but sometimes at different times. One of the things that we've done since we became artistic directors of last year's festival, which was our first festival together, was particularly use opera which had been a tradition of the festival and which had been dropped over the last 20 years almost, to place the festival opera kind of at the centre of the festival's programme. It has to be so carefully chosen, and in fact last year we brought a production that we both saw in its opening, in its first season at Glyndebourne, Barry Kosky's Saul, which of course brought Barry Kosky, an Australian but also one of the world's most in-demand opera directors, and that opera brought people from all over the country and indeed all over the world. We followed that this year with a new Australian work, Brett Dean's Hamlet, which had achieved a remarkable success when it opened at the Glyndebourne Festival Opera in June last year. We'd made the commitment to it early, and we're so glad that we did, because it was seen as an absolute masterpiece.
Where does Writers' Week fit within this?
Adelaide Festival has given birth, if you like, to not just Writers' Week, but also WOMAD, so festivals within a festival, if you like. Writers' Week has been part of the Adelaide Festival really almost from the very, very beginning. And I mean, it's an incredibly important part of the Adelaide Festival. It's been here in the Pioneer Women's Memorial Gardens for decades. It's got an extremely loyal and dedicated following. It's had incredible writers. Really, all the great writers of the world have been here at Writers' Week at some point in their career. The fact that it's free makes it a very unique festival these days. Obviously, literary events are flourishing. Free literary events are relatively rare. And Margaret Atwood said at the Writers' Week in Jaipur, and I'm paraphrasing, that nothing can beat Adelaide Writers' Week. It is the greatest writers' event in the world. And I think that the audience and the writers come here knowing that it is a time not for necessarily the kind of circuit talks that happen in more, I guess, monetized events, but an opportunity to almost commune with their readers. I mean, you can see it's a very loved event and one that is knitted into the very heart of the Adelaide Festival.
In the week that I've been here, there's been a motor festival on. There have been huge flypasts of planes in formation. Robbie Williams has been here. Ed Sheeran has been here. I see on number plates of cars it says the festival state. This is clearly absolutely woven into the DNA of Southern Australia.
That's quite right. From our point of view, we would probably prefer that the motor car race happened at a slightly different time of the year. However, that's not determined by us. But it is, you know, it manages to happen as well as this extraordinary influx of artists and audiences and people in Adelaide coming out onto the streets and just taking it all in. It is, I think, the concentration of energy at this time in March. It's also, you know, as we can feel today in the air, it is beautiful weather. Adelaide is traditionally very dry through March, temperate boarding through to hot. But it's just lovely to be out and about. And unlike any other festival in this country, like Edinburgh and Avignon, you are constantly meeting people, moving from one event to another, and you have these fabulous rushed conversations about what you've just seen, what you're going to, what you saw yesterday. The debate about the quality of performance, the sense of people's minds buzzing with these wonderful productions of theatre and dance and great visual arts and great listening at Writers' Week and great books that have been read is really the mark of our success, I think, and it's what the arts can give a society.
That's Neil Armfield and Rachel Healy of the Adelaide Festival, bringing this edition of the show, which featured Adelaide Writers' Week, to a close. Writers' Week happens every March, and soon podcasts of some of the conversations that took place there will be available online. You've been listening to Meet the Writers. My enormous thanks to everyone at Adelaide Writers' Week and the Adelaide Festival. Also thanks to the Monocle production team of George McDonough and Sam Impey. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.